All right, let's start again. This is still the year 2017, and it's Father's Day. And so, it's like I said, it's the easiest day of the year to pick a topic on which to teach on. And we go to 1 Corinthians 8 to start with verse 5. We're going to look at our loving, caring Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 8, 5, we read, "For though there be that are called gods." There's lots of gods. There's golf gods and sports gods and Hollywood gods and fame gods and political gods and, you know, business gods and gods that you have to put up with that think they're gods and at work and all those type of things. Lots of gods. It's not just statue gods like many parts of the world. That was one of the greatest things. We went to India. Welcome to the land of 90 million gods. Okay. Gee, I wonder why there's a lot of poverty there. "For though there be that are called gods," there's, you know, lots and lots of gods, "whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us," I speak on behalf of everybody in this room, "but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we through him." That's it. I mean, basically, that explains everything right there. That and the manifestations, Joey's manifestations, we're done as far as the true God is. But you got to kill sometime. So we'll keep going. 1 John chapter 3. So one God, despite all the gods identify themselves as gods. I don't know if that's on when you pay taxes, if it's male, female, or gods. But to be a lot of people would probably mark that. But 1 John 3, again, reminds us that if it's Father's Day, one of the prerequisites to having being a father is you got to have a child. So 1 John 3 will identify yourselves as children of God. 1 John 3, 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And it really is love, knowing today. I was a part of a Roman Catholicism cult, and we never knew for sure if we were going to be, you know, going to be in heaven or not. It all depended on those last few minutes, if you got the absolution or not. So you never want to die in a car accident real quick. You know, you had to have enough time to lie there and confess all the rest of your sins and get them out of the way. So this really is love. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should know today that we are called a son of God." Now, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I like being called the son of God. And know that it's true. I am a child of the true God, not all those other foreign gods. "Therefore, the world," this world, well, basically the Greek text reads, "and so we are." We should be called the sons of God, and so we are. I have no idea why the scribe decided to look up at that moment, look back down again, and skip it. But I'm glad it got put in other texts. "And that we should be called the sons of God, and so we are today. Therefore, the world, which is not our home, knows us not, because it didn't know him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." But it's tremendous today, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A big hope in there, a big acknowledgement of what's coming in the future. But meanwhile, the world doesn't like us. We're not on the top 10 favorites of the world's list. And when those who have made that, you know right away, many of them are serving the wrong God. And not the true God. Because the world loves them. The world doesn't love us. That's okay. We're not of this world. Chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 18. Since we're here, we might as well read a couple of verses. "My little children," since we're children of God, "my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't just talk it. Live it. That's a huge thing. God is identifying us again as his children, and don't love just in word, or talking about it, deed, works, truth, yes. And finally, we jump to 22. "Since we're a child of God, whatsoever we ask, we can get from God, Because we keep his commandments, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, our big brother, Jesus Christ, and because of that, we can love one another as he gave commandments, and he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him, and thereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And we'll see that that Spirit is a good gift because the Father likes to give us good gifts. But first, we have to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, to identify something about that gift. Chapter 1. Because of the proof. 1 Peter 1:22 is where we start. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, specifically the truth of believing about the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit, not in the text. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, since you're born again. You're born from above. God is your Father. Jesus Christ is your brother. We're all children, and we all don't have to live in a shoe, which is nice. We're born from above, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, by the word of God. By the way, the word of God lives and abides forever. So it doesn't change every decade. Once you get born again, you get to stay that way because it's an incorruptible seed. And I don't know about you, but that is one of the greatest things that God did. And every morning when you wake up or every evening when you go to bed or when you're stuck in traffic, you can only speak in tongues. And then you know God's with you. So the day won't be a complete loss. We've got God with us. And we know one other thing. Christ hasn't come back yet. Which is a good thing, because there are days sometimes you just want Christ to come back. But if that's the way you feel every day, then you're not having a more abundant life. That shouldn't be all you live for is Christ coming back. Oh, my God. That's the wrong way of going through life. It's a great thing to not acknowledge, but enjoy your opportunity to fellowship with your Heavenly Father, because you aren't going to get reincarnated. Sorry, it doesn't happen that way. You only get one shot at it, so enjoy each day to its fullest. Right, you can be thankful you got out of California. See? Okay, there you go. There's always something to be thankful about, and that's a big thing of part of being a child of God. Lots and lots to be thankful for. We go to Ephesians 1. And that you met Julia at school. That's something else to be thankful for. And Julie spoke the word to you. And you believed. And you're still here. And this is Julie still. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 2. Grace be to you, and peace be to you. And where do we get grace and peace? From God our Father. He's our Father. I am sure my children got lots of peaceful days from me. And lots of grace. Heavy on the mercy, but lots. Our Heavenly Father gives us grace and peace. And from the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed or happy is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What makes God happy? It makes God happy that he can bless his children. And he has blessed his children with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through the accomplished work of Christ. We are blessed. Live it. Enjoy it. You're blessed. You're happy. You've got great spiritual blessings. According he has chosen us in him before the overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Those are good things to be thankful for. These are good things that our Father has done. And he's very blessed and happy to do it. Verse 118 says, the eyes of our understanding then can be enlightened. Isn't it great, like the one day you're taking algebra and all of a sudden your eyes are enlightened and you just get it? There's no other way to explain it. Just get it one day, and then you become an engineer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, and this is what enlightens us, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We have been enlightened as to what the true hope is. We've been enlightened about what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints are. We have been enlightened on the exceeding greatness of his power to us when we believe, according to the working of his mighty powers. And the whole chapter 1 of Ephesians is a great enlightenment because of all the great spiritual truths we've had. It's just tremendous that we can acknowledge our Father. Look at 4:6. in case we need a reminder again, we have to stop at 4:6. One God and Father of all. All right, we started that way, but it's still true today. One God and Father of all, who was above all and through all and in you all. And then we move on to 5:20. And we read in 5:20 what we get to do. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful. When you get thankful, a lot of things fall in place. But you have that attitude of unthankfulness, life's just miserable. You know, you go to Wonder Mall and see all the things you don't have. It's so much better to stay out of there and be thankful, so to speak. You know, just be giving thanks to the Father for all the great things he has done and for what his accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can do, as Andrew taught last weekend, we don't have to sacrifice on the blood. We don't have to go to the Philippines every year and get sacrificed. I'm thrilled that we don't have to do that. He did it once. And a lot of times you see people go through things and I'll enjoy the benefit of that. That's good. I like an inheritance for all eternity. That's good. So these are all great and wonderful things to be thankful for. Colossians 1. Things to be thankful for to our Father. Because he really is our Father. He's made known the fact that we are his children. And every day you speak in tongues to confirm it. Colossians 1:12 again says giving thanks. We give thanks unto the Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and again, thank you. Giving thanks unto the Father because he has made us adequate, competent. God has made us competent to be in his family. You know, God has made us competent to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You got an inheritance. You got the title deed of the inheritance. It's yours. You've got the Spirit. So he made you worthy to receive the inheritance as a child of God. We all have it. It's great. It's wonderful. And he's the one who has then delivered us from the power of darkness. And darkness has got power. And it's endeavoring to, you know, control you with fear, control you with the unknown. Say, oh, tomorrow's going to be a lousier day than today. Instead of going, no, God's got something better on the horizon. Something much better is there. But the power of darkness, don't let it take over. And then he translated us. He transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. From the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, where light is there. You have been delivered. Yay, if I was a shouting Methodist, I'd shout. I don't know if the Methodists really shouted or not. But anyway, let's go back to Galatians 1. Amazing. Every one of these church epistles has great things about God being our Father in it. And things we get to do. Galatians 1 and verse 3. Galatians 1, 3. And all these church epistles open this way. Grace be to you and peace. From God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he extends something else to us. And in verse 4, he extends to us the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins. I always like to include that because that's really thankful in there, since we don't live a perfect life. He gave himself for our sins so that he could deliver us from the present evil world. This world isn't evil, is it? Yes, it is. I mean, just... Read the news, see the news, hear about the news, hear what people are talking about the news. It's an evil world. And guess what we get to do today because of technology? Hear about all the evil quicker. You got to love the internet and everything else that's out there. On your phone, more evil. All right, this present evil world. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. You know, the world, there's age. It's an evil age because the God of this world is a terrible host. But there's a time coming. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And we'll start in verse 11. 2:11. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue's going to do it, willingly or unwillingly. It's going to happen, and it's going to suck to wake up in the resurrection of the unjust. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, my children, those who care about the things of the true God, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this isn't talking about eternal life, because Christ accomplished that for us. It's situations we find ourselves in, like being behind on the rent, or looking for a new car, or having to move. Whatever these situations we find ourselves in, like having a pregnant wife. Whatever situation we find ourselves in. And I lost my verse. Okay, that's what I was talking about. Work out our own salvation. Work through those situations with fear and trembling. Oh my God, I'm going to have triplets. No, that's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. It's dealing with love, loving, and obedience. It's an Orientalism. You basically work your way through it because God will help you through it. God will give you the strength. God will help. Will give you what you need, the direction. He'll give you whatever it is for you to be able to do it without fear, without disgust, without doubt. Just, of course, we put all that on ourselves, you know, like having to move from Georgia to here, things like that. Work out your own situation that you find yourself in with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why that verse follows it. God will help us whatever we find ourselves in, whatever the next situation is, God will help us through it. Because guess what? There'll be a new one there, and a new one there, and a new one there. I mean, winter's coming, you know. So there's always something, but that's okay. With God, he works in you to help towards his good pleasure. So because of that, quit complaining. That's why verse 14's there. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's the easy way out. Ah! No, do all things without murmuring and disputings. God, why am I doing this? Because it's my pleasure to put you through this pain. No, that's not what it's talking about. Watch me work in this situation for something better. Yeah, you got to put out some effort. But before you know that, you got a nice big house and three acres or something. It's just keep moving. Just keep moving. Work through the situation with God's help. Quit complaining about it because God's working the situation. And then, shut up. You know, quit complaining. God's got something better for you. All right, keep reading. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That's always a great reminder. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst, this keeps coming up, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. That's not this country, that's the whole world, it's the whole age. Among whom you can shine as lights in the world. You shine. You walk into darkness and you just shine. And the darker it gets, the more you shine because you're lights in the world. So what do we do about it? We hold forth the word of life so we can rejoice in the day of Christ that you have not run in vain. Your efforts, your labor are not in vain. You will be rewarded. So shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. All right. So then we have to move to James. James 1. We're going to bounce around the Bible today, which is a great thing to do because there's no football, so we might as well spend time in the Bible. It's one of those times of the year where hockey's over with, basketball's over with, football hasn't started yet. If you don't like baseball, man, you're just stuck playing golf. Sorry, can't surf here. James 1. Oh, by the way, that ship made it. Three-year journey. It came into the harbor yesterday. With the Hanalea? Hokulea. Yeah. Pronounce it like a native. Yeah. It made it back after 3 years going around. Yeah. So.
Around the what?
Around the world. It sailed around the world for 3 years, and it did it without any GPS, any modern conveniences, and all that type of thing. So it was all by the stars, by the birds, by the swells, and all those type of things. So it took them 3 years, and they stopped at a lot of parts to bring great Hawaiian love to everybody, and then moved on to the next one. So anyway, that's what they're reporting. I guess they stopped at 16 ports along the way. And they're back. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Airplanes dropping. No. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God our Father. It's from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no veritableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives good gifts. God wants the best for his children, and he's good at it. The God of this world does not like you. He's not good at giving good gifts to us. Back to 1 John, chapter 2. First John 2, verse 1. God gives good gifts. That's a good God. You like serving a good God. You like serving a rich God. Amen. You know, a kind God. Man, some of the gods that they talk about. Oh, thank you. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, if you do break fellowship, if you don't do what God wants you to do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you don't mess with Jesus Christ, the righteous, in the court of law. Yeah, he wins every case. He's very good. Even when we make a mistake, God has an advocate there for us to get us back in fellowship with him. That's a kind God. It's not three strikes and you're out. We've been gone a long time ago. Just, he sent his son as an advocate, as a defense attorney for us. And that's great to know, because too many times, we'll get to that in a minute, condemnation stops us. Sinning stops us from receiving all the great things that God has for us. And he is the propitiation, which is a fancy word basically for mercy seat, or payment for our sins. He paid them. Not for ours only, in case you think you're special, but for the sins of the whole world. That's quite a price tag that he did for us. Because of that, we get to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He paid for everything that we did wrong in the past, in the present, in the future. And he then remembers them and holds them against us. No, praise God, he doesn't. He forgets and forgives and we move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed is God again. God is blessed. God is happy. God is blessed. This Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies. And we like that. Our God is a Father of mercies, heavy on the mercies, or compassion. It's another word. The Father of compassion. Our God is a Father of compassion. He is the God of all comfort. Now, do we need to be comforted at times? How about our God, our Father, who is the God of all comfort, the God of all encouragement, is another synonym for this word. The God of encouragement. Do we need to be encouraged? Yeah. Just to get out of bed some mornings. We need to be encouraged. We need to be comforted. It's another day. Yay! It's safe here. I'm not getting up. There's a foot of snow out there or something. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all encouragement, who encourages us, who comforts us in all of our affliction. I hate when we have to read about tribulation or affliction, because it's there. You can't deny it. It's there, but God encourages us and comforts us when we go through it. Why? That we may be able to encourage or comfort them which are in any trouble. Oh, other people are having problems? You're kidding. It's not just me. Well, we can encourage them. Why? Because they need encouragement. We all need it. We all need comfort from the God of comfort. Wherefore, we ourselves are comforted of God. As God comforts or encourages us, we can encourage and help others. And God is blessed when all of this cycle happens, which is a good thing. He just doesn't say, too bad, figure it out. Go back to Romans 16. We're going to 1 Corinthians, but we've got to stop at Romans 16 for a quick moment. In case you were wondering, Romans 16, verse 27, to God only wise. We have a wise God. Not a wise guy God. a wise God. So that's good, because that means he knows what's going on. So we have a wise God who is a father of mercies, knowing we would need it. So we go to 1 Corinthians 1 now, since it's right across the page. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. Our Father is trustworthy. We can invest time and effort in him. He won't let us down. God is faithful. God is trustworthy, by whom you were called unto the fellowship. So, God is trustworthy. Luke 11. You knew I had to go here. Luke 11. Because we've already seen it. God gives us good gifts. He'll do that again here in Luke 11, verse 9. Luke 11, 9. And I say unto you, ask. God isn't saying, sit there and be quiet. When I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you just give him a stone? You know, they'd pack the pancakes up. Actually, it was the pita bread type thing, the flat things. And they'd have a stone, flat stone on top of it. And it would, you know, after a while, it would look like the stone. So, oh, would you like something to eat? And they would hand you the stone. Your father wouldn't do that for you. That's what you get. Stones, good for your teeth. No, he won't do that. If you ask him a fish, before he fish instead, give you a serpent? There was an eel that kind of looked like a serpent at time frame. Would you give that to your child? If he asked an egg, would you supply him with a scorpion instead that kind of looks like an egg? No, you would not do that. Not for your children, unless you're really mad at them. If you then, being evil, you know, not being perfect, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? That's our Heavenly Father. He's a how much more God. What would you like? Oh, you can do better than that. I can do this for you. How about that? That's our God. Hebrews 4. We're almost running out of verses. Hebrews 4. That's our Heavenly Father. He cares. He wants the best. Hebrews 4, 9. He's even going to give us rest. Hebrews 4, 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. And the older you get, the more you like these verses. This rest part. Because the body just doesn't have the energy it used to have. I don't know what happened. There remains a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest is also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. I was watching Errol Ireland the other day. And in Errol Ireland, they show you people kissing the Barney Stone. And that's great, because that's where you get your luck from. You have to go to this castle. You have to go up to the third floor. You got to reach underneath the stone. I didn't realize it was that difficult. People would literally put their life in danger for years to kiss the Blarney Stone, because you got to go underneath and the Blarney Stone's behind. And so now they got little things you can hold on to, and they put a thing where you won't fall and stuff like that to kiss the Blarney Stone. But so many people did that for luck. That was their God, to get the God of fortune and destiny to work on their behalf. They had to go to Ireland and kiss the Blarney Stone so they would have luck for a while. Cease from your own works. There's no luck there. Cease from your own works as God did from his. And that's part of our problem. We're going to try and do it ourselves. You can't do it yourself. You want to be miserable? Try it. Instead, verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest that God made available through Christ. It's kind of a nice oxymoron here. We labor to enter his rest. We work to get into his good graces again instead of going, you know, that's fighting our old man nature. That let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That word labor there is the word to be diligent. It's from the same word in Timothy, to study, to show yourself approved. It's that same Greek word for labor, Yes, yeah, spoudazon. So we are to labor, we're to be diligent to enter into his rest. It's not necessarily an accident, it's a mental thing. Why? Verse 12, for the word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and the word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, we are to be diligent to do it his way. And you know what? It's a family business. And the father's in charge of this family business. So you know what he's supposed to do? Supply the need for whatever it is we need to do. That's his job. He supplies the need. We take the need and utilize it to do the family business, which is a love business, which is a caring business, which is encouraging business, which is a great opportunity to be together with all of us, because after all, we're stuck with each other for eternity. Might as well enjoy us now. It's a great and wonderful thing. So don't limit your father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Don't limit him. Now, sometimes we wish he'd move a little bit faster, or sell a few more of those cattle quicker for us. But don't limit him. There are two great life suckers of life. The first one is ignorance. Duh, I don't know what to do. Okay? And the second part, the second life sucker is condemnation. You might have heard it as sin consciousness. God's not going to take care of me because I'm a sinner and I did this wrong, I did that wrong, and I did this wrong, and I did that. Yeah, welcome to life. Yeah. But God goes, that doesn't matter. Don't condemn yourself. Father of mercies, Father of grace, Father of comfort, Father of meeting every need, Father of good gifts, Father, well, you name it, it's there. And you know what we have? Direct access to him. A minor detail. He's not an absentee father. He's there listening, caring, going, excuse me, ask me. I'll take care of you. What do you need? A new car? Got one. No, don't buy that one. That one. That type of thing. Don't let condemnation, don't let ignorance stop you from receiving the best. Matthew 10. That God has to offer. Because we only stop ourselves. We can enter into his rest. God is going, be bold in what you ask. Set your goals high. You might reach them. Matthew 10. In case you've been to the market recently, or haven't been, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. He knows even what's happening in the sparrow kingdom. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God keeps track. Of course, some of us it's a lot easier to keep track of. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more value than global warming, than the many sparrows that are out there. You know, we've got to protect whatever species it is that needs protecting today. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking care of and steward things and being right with it, but God is going, you're more valuable than the animals. You're more valuable than the kingdom of the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, you know, the animal kingdom. You're even more valuable than the kingdom of man because you've been pushed into the top kingdom, the spiritual realm. The kingdom of the spirit. That's where we reside, seated in the heavenlies, looking down far above everything that the earth has to offer. Can't take it with you. The Pharaoh's tried. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, he will I confess before my Father in heaven. I'm going to meet your every need because I care. Fear not. You're more valuable. And we close in 1 Peter. Chapter 5, a great reminder that we're not of this world, a great reminder that God will take care of us, a great reminder that your heavenly Father is still in business today. He didn't die in the 60s like they kept saying. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care, casting all your concern upon him, for he cares for you. Do we have care? Do we have concern? Do we have days of unrest, of being unpeaceful? Do we have days of where the evilness tries to get to us? Casting all your concern upon God, because he laughs at you. No, because he cares. He cares. He really cares. You know, there's times when people say things to you and go, I really don't care. Oh, maybe, excuse me. We think that. We don't necessarily say that. Maybe we think it too much, or more than we should. But God's not that way. God says, I care. Talk to me. You know why? Because he can do something about it. And he also knows we need it. That's why humble yourself. You're not a self-made person. Yeah. Cast all your care. God, I'm only going to give you two of my three cares today. No. All the cares, all the concerns, because God cares about every little detail of life. As Mary pointed out in her prayer, we're more than just fathers, more than just mothers. We have all other aspects to life. So be sober. Be vigilant, because your personal adversary, the devil, he's got a dartboard with your picture on it. Yep. And some days he throws more at you than others. So be sober, be vigilant, stay on top of your game, because your personal adversary, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeing who has his guard down, seeing who he can mess with today, seeing who he can devour, whom resist. Resist, steadfast, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or experienced by your brethren that are in the world. All of us in this present evil age, we're all going through something. You're not alone, but God has the answers. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little bit, you've lived your life, he's going to make you perfect or fully equip you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. That's the God of comfort. That's the God who'll help you through every situation. He'll give you the strength to go through the affliction. To him, though, should be the glory. To him should be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your care, your help. We know you're an able God, you're a great Father, and we can look to you to meet our need. We're thankful, Dad, that you've made so much of your character known to us so we can trust in everything you have available. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.